The following show is closed caption for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
I want you to just think about this, okay? We're not taking this one up right now, but I want you to ponder this. Is a football clinic for women inherently sexist? Is a football clinic to teach women about the nuances, the intricacies of the game of football, sexist because it assumes that women specifically have a dearth of knowledge when it comes to football that men do not? That inherently most men are more knowledgeable than most women about football. Would you accept that as true? That generally, if you were to, let's put it this way. If you were to quiz women and quiz men on football, if which would score better overall? Would you be surprised if men overall scored better than women as a gender? I wouldn't be. We're going to get to that later in the show because I find it very interesting. Women are upset with college clinics that attempt to educate women about the nuances or to make them more informed football watchers. Well, what is that? You think we don't know football? Okay. I may try a social experiment later in the show. I may try something. But I don't know how to do this. Because if I ask for volunteers, you know, women informed about football, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work. I must tell you, though, that I'm going to be honest. I think more men than women watch football. So I would think men would be informed, although I know men who don't know anything about football, and I know women who are extremely knowledgeable. We'll get to that later in the show, but common sense would seem to tell me that there is a gender disparity there. Speaking of common sense, something occurred to me over the weekend as I was preparing for the topic I'm about to share with you, and we will be getting your thoughts on this one. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. I think when people say common sense, I don't think we're all thinking the same thing. When you say someone has no common sense, I think many of us over the years have taken that to mean that people don't have inherent or innate common sense to do the smart thing when they're approached with a situation they've never been approached with before, or just how to deal with things. That common sense is something you're born with. That's what I've always believed. You know what? No, I think common sense is passed along. Perhaps that's why we call it common sense. It's shared by the common public. I don't know if that's where it came from. And we always joke that common sense is no longer very common, which isn't really a joke either. But if you think about it, those things which we consider common sense are in fact learned. It's not that kids aren't born with common sense anymore. They probably never were. Society was a heck of a lot better at passing it along. You know, things you do and don't do. Okay, as a kid, should you inherently know enough not to stick your tongue on the frozen flagpole, you know, a la Christmas Story? Yeah, you probably should. Unless you don't understand what happens to moist flesh when it hits 20 below metal. Jason says depends on the age. Okay, how do you learn that? Quite frankly, if somebody doesn't teach you, how are you going to learn that? By doing it! We learn by experience. So if nobody's told you any better, it might seem really stupid. Well, you didn't know that? And I've decided my kids aren't guilty of knowing certain things. I'm guilty of not teaching them. I think we've been pretty good at it, but even with us, I see some, really? You didn't know that? Really? And rather than have them learn by trial and error, you teach them. That said, okay, now you just said that said. That's when somebody's going to contradict themselves. They precede the self-contradiction with that said. Ever notice that? Whenever someone says that said, that means they're about to contradict what they just said. To a degree, I'm about to contradict what I just said. There are some things that I think you should have the sense to do or not do without being taught. First and foremost, at least for purposes of this conversation, should anybody have to teach you, don't leave an infant child in a car in summer. Should anybody have to teach you that? Jason says, clearly, yes. Should we have to teach people that? I guess that's the more precise question. There are two things I want to share here. This is from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution last month. Apparently, they had a baby broiling case. I am heartbroken for the family of the 22-month-old who has died after allegedly being accidentally left in the car by his father for 7 hours. 7 hours. How the hell could you not know where a child is, a 22, just under 2 years old, for 7 hours? The father's been charged with murder and cruelty to children in the first degree. Based on reports from the scene in the parking lot, the father was just devastated and tried to resuscitate the child when he realized what he had done. It takes you 7 hours to realize what you had done? The father's horrific realization turned into a frantic race to revive the child in the parking lot of a busy Cobb County shopping center Wednesday afternoon. The distraught man, whose name was not released, had to be handcuffed by arriving officers as witnesses and then paramedics administered CPR. What have I done? What have I done? Witnesses heard the man scream. I've killed our child. Yes, as a matter of fact, you did. That death was the second in 2 days involving children left in cars, coming one day after a 9-month-old Florida girl died after being left in her father's pickup truck. The child in Cobb County is believed to be the 14th to die from heat stroke in a vehicle this year in the United States, according to kidsandcars.org. The woman writing this column says she believes this could happen to any parent. Here's the thing. I don't think it takes a malicious person or even a stupid person to leave your child in a hot car, although I'm sure there's some of that too. I think it takes an absent-minded or busy parent who is possibly not doing their normal routine and they simply forget that their child is in the car. I can see how this could happen, especially with a rear-facing car seat where you don't see their little face in your rearview mirror or in a very large vehicle. She's serious. And that's when she says, I truly believe this could happen to any parent. And she wonders if there should be a smartphone app. There is. Guess what? There is. Now, some of you who hear talk show host Kim Komando's Komando Minute, she touched on this on Friday. This is where I got the inspiration for this. I went to her website. There's just no excuse for leaving a child unattended in a hot car. It's simply bad parenting, and there's no way around it. But in the wake of several more tragic stories of kids senselessly dying in sweltering cars, it's obvious something needs to be done. We shouldn't have to have high-tech car seats that alert parents automatically when a child is left alone and the temperatures are rising, but it's become clear that some parents do. If this car seat can save one child's life, then it's worth it. It's called the First Year's True Fit Eye Alert from Tomy International. It's the first car seat that syncs with your Android or iPhone to alert you when your child is in unsafe conditions inside your car. It's designed to notify your phone when the child is left unattended or climbs out of his or her seat while you're driving. It can remind you to check the seat buckle, help you set the seat properly in the car, and set up emergency contacts lists. It also monitors the temperature inside the car. That's right. For the low, low price of $286.46, we can now completely abdicate parental responsibility to our smartphones. Why stop here? How about a breathalyzer that alerts you when your BAC hits 0.20, when you're out drinking in the bar, when you left a small child alone in an apartment? How about that one? Hey, you're getting pretty faced. You better go home and keep an eye on the kid. How about that one? An app that tells you the PSI you're applying to your young child when you've taken them to bed with you after you've been drinking so you don't crush them. By the way, Milwaukee has just seen far more than its share of this. How about an app that does a personality profile of a prospective boyfriend for a single mom? Because apparently a lot of them are incapable of choosing someone who won't abuse their children. How about that? I think this woman's thesis that this could happen to any parent is absolute crap. And I want to throw in another element here. People have been getting off for this way too lightly. And quite frankly, I think it has opened the door for malicious intent. Well, I can kill my kid this way, an afterbirth abortion, because very few people get any serious prison time for this. There's a big story all over the national news today about a dog left in a dumpster. People broil their children alive in a car and often get very minor consequences for it. What the hell's the matter with us? This could happen to any parent. No, it couldn't. No, I'm sorry. I don't believe that anyone is capable of absentmindedly leaving a child in a car for 7 hours. Let me put it this way. I want to make sure you understand what I mean. Not just anybody is capable of that. How could any parent who claims to love their child forget their child anywhere for 7 hours? Anywhere. I couldn't forget my child. That is absolutely right. I don't want to give that up. Two callers have already stumbled on something that I think that's exactly right, Jason. 406-1360. 888-455-1360. I want your thoughts on this. I think it is, really. So we now need modern technology because parents don't have the common sense. For 7 hours? I wouldn't forget my kid for 7 hours if they were in someone's trusting care. This is incredible to me. It's 9:19.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.